For now, you will recognize that jealousy is here, the alarm is going off, and you and your partner will accept it. You have heard the sounds before. Jealousy is an echo from the street. It is a blaring horn in traffic. It is a shout from an alley. It might pass by. It might wake you up. Allow it to happen without getting hijacked by it. When you hear the siren on a fire engine go by, you don't need to chase it. Imagine your relationship as large enough and rich enough that it can handle and accept the background sounds of a jealous voice. Once you can both accept that it is here, that it sounds off alarms, then together you may be able to take steps toward working with it. It's something for the two of you to learn to live with. But, you say, how can I tolerate these angry and anxious feelings about someone I love? I can't stand having all these feelings. Shouldn't I feel one way? In the poem, Song of Myself, Walt Whitman describes how he loves the old and the young, the beautiful and the ugly, the rich and the poor. He embraces all of life, all humanity. Do I contradict myself? Very well then, I contradict myself. I am large. I contain multitudes. Think of your jealousy as containing multitudes, with a full range of feelings in your relationship. It contains love and hate, peace and conflict, fear and serenity. It is all there, all part of the full experience. We only contradict ourselves when we think we should feel one way. Your jealousy is one of the many experiences, ways of feeling, and ways of relating that will be part of this large, complete human bond. I'm not okay, you're not okay, but that's okay. If you are the object of a partner's jealousy, you are probably demanding or hoping that the jealousy goes away and disappears. You want things to be just right with your partner, with peace and happiness. You want it calm and easy. In 1967, Thomas Harris published the best-selling book, I'm Okay, You're Okay. I guess that he was an optimist. After all, do we really believe that we are all okay? Do we really believe that we don't annoy each other, disappoint each other, and judge ourselves and the people around us? I don't find the book's sentiment to be realistic. I have a different idea about relationships. See whether it fits your experience. I'm not okay, you're not okay, but that's okay. Because aren't we all a little bit irrational, a little bit crazy, a little unfair? If you are okay with that, then you can live in this world of imperfect people and fallen angels and trod through the ups and downs of life. We often wish that we lived in utopia, a place of perfect harmony. But keep in mind that the word utopia was drawn from the Greek word for no place. You can't get there from here because it doesn't exist. Here are some ways to view this world, the one we live in, that can help your relationship. In a cave together. Think of it this way. Your partner, who is feeling overwhelmed with jealousy, feels all alone, frightened, helpless, confused. Imagine that he or she is in a dark cave. There are different passageways in this cave. You are there together, and you have a small, dim candle. You are trying to find a way out together. You are both afraid and feeling lost as you hold the candle. You fear the candle will go out, and you will be completely in the dark. But you learn that if the two of you hold the candle together and breathe compassion into the flame, there is more light. It may be that you don't know which passageway leads to the way out, but you do know that you can walk together. Love means walking together in the dark. Just as we need to make room for jealousy in our intimate relationships, we also need to make room for it in our work, family, and friendship relationships. Painful and difficult feelings can arise in any relationship that matters. With your colleagues, you may have an idealized view of how things should be done. Let's say that everyone should be fair all the time. That view would be wonderful if we lived in that kind of world, but we don't. So recognizing that someone else might get more attention than us is a reality we need to be prepared to encounter. We can't continue to say, "I can't believe that happened," when it seems to be happening everywhere else. Just because things aren't fair does not mean that you can't win the game. We must learn how to live effectively in a world where unfairness is all around us. Successful people know how to get along with unfairness. They don't take it personally, and they strategize for success. Accepting all the emotions. Making room for jealousy means we recognize that our relationships are complex, so we need to accept a wide range of emotions, not exclusively positive and pleasant ones. We can still love a partner or friend and still have angry, jealous, resentful, and even vengeful feelings toward him or her. That doesn't mean we act on all those feelings, but it does mean that people can frustrate us, disappoint us, annoy us, and let us down. Our unrealistic desire to have only pure and wonderful feelings toward people in our lives is something I call pure mind. It's a kind of emotional perfectionism to say, I should only have positive feelings toward them, and they should only have positive feelings toward me. Unfortunately, that's not the real world. The real world is filled with disappointments, along with joy, meaning, and love. But no one is that good. We are all prone to let each other down at some time. The question is, can we pick ourselves up and repair the damage? Can we survive the empathic failures in which we fail to connect, support, and care in the way the other person expects us to? Living life without disappointment is not a possibility. We all fail at some point, myself included. We are all fallen angels. What do you do when you are disappointed or disillusioned? Some of us become pessimistic. Some build walls around themselves. Some attack the world in protest, and some gain realistic and more complex views of life and relationships. I choose the latter. I have learned that trying to be a saint will have one result: living in hell on earth. Because the truth is that we are all fallen angels. Keep reminding yourself, no one is that good. No one is free of jealousy, resentment, envy, boredom, anger, or disappointment. Everyone has a dark side, along with a brighter side, despite our wish that brightness encompass the complete reality. Relationships are not simply about feeling good all the time. Relationships can be difficult, almost impossible at times. It's not always an easy thing to love someone or to be loved. It's not easy having friends, siblings, and colleagues. We can be difficult with each other. Relationships are about the capacity to feel everything and to still go on. In place of emotional perfectionism, I would suggest emotional complexity and emotional richness. Observing rather than struggling. A thought or feeling can become even more powerful when we struggle to eliminate it. We want to shout at ourselves to stop thinking the way I'm thinking, or to scold ourselves for the feelings we have. You're doing it again, loser. You're feeling jealous. But the more we struggle, the stronger thoughts and feelings become. It's like one of those 1950s atomic bomb monsters that gets stronger the more we shoot at it with our weapons. It gets larger and takes on the energy of our firepower. When we're busy trying to shoot thoughts and feelings down, the struggle feeds their power. So what can we do when we feel this way? One approach that is helpful is called mindfulness, which is simply paying attention to the present moment without judgment and without trying to control things. Mindfulness allows us to stay here in this moment without jumping ahead to the future and without jumping back into the past. It allows us to let go of what we struggle with, thoughts about the past, and thoughts about the future, to simply observe the present moment. When we are jealous, we pay too much attention to our thoughts, reliving a past moment and anticipating a future that may never happen. Mindfulness allows us to find a safe space in the present moment where we let go. We can let go by first paying attention to our breath. Let's try it right now. For a moment, notice your breath. Notice where it is in its cycle. Is it coming in or going out? Just keep your attention on your breath. Don't try to control it. Don't judge it. Just notice it. Observe your breath in the present moment. Notice how it changes, how it flows, how your breath goes in and out. Notice that your mind may drift to other thoughts or sounds, and then gently bring yourself back to your breath. Notice where the breath is in its cycle. Notice how it goes in and out. What if we could do this with our thoughts and feelings? Imagine having the thought, "My partner might be flirting with someone." Imagine that thought is the breath that comes in and out. Imagine watching that thought as if it is a string of words drifting across the sky. Imagine that you watch that thought slowly moving in a gentle breeze. Imagine that it is moving along with the wind. Stand where you are and see the thought. Do nothing else, just observe it. It is here, and you are watching it. Nothing is happening. The thought is drifting across the sky. You are watching it, standing in the present moment, observing, letting the thought come and go as it drifts along. Notice that you are still here in the present moment. You are observing your jealous thought and choosing to do nothing but watch it. Another way to imagine this is to see your thought on a movie screen. You are sitting in your chair, comfortable, watching it play out. It is just a movie, one scene, and it will pass. You are here, but the thought is over there. You are not the thought, and the thought is not you. You can allow the jealous thought to be on its own. It can drift along. It can call out. But you are safely in your seat. You watch thoughts and feelings go back and forth, noticing how they may pass by. They are on the move. If you don't grab onto the thought, it will drift away, away from you. It may also drift back. Watch it. Let it come and go, like your breath, like the waves on the shore, gently coming and going. You are here. You are watching. You are making room. You are letting things be. Mindfulness of the breath exercise. In this exercise, you simply sit and observe your breath. Without judging how you are doing, without trying to control what you are doing, you simply observe and let your breath come and go. The purpose is to practice observing the present moment and letting it go with 6 simple instructions. 1. Find a comfortable, quiet place to sit with your back straight. 2. Focus your attention on your breath and notice it going in and out. 3. Simply observe your breath as it gently flows back and forth. 4. Notice that your mind goes elsewhere to thoughts, memories, sounds. 5. Gently bring your attention back to your breath. 6. What do you notice about your mind? Is it wandering to other thoughts and sounds? Is your mind busy a lot? Are you chasing after your mind rather than staying in the present moment? Are you judging how you are doing? You may find that your jealous mind hijacks you and that you get carried away when these thoughts and feelings pop up. With some mindfulness practice, you can imagine that these jealous thoughts and feelings are simply outside sounds. You can observe them and then bring your attention back to your breath or to the present moment. You can observe the jealous thoughts and then let them go for the moment. Validating your jealousy. You may have been struggling with jealousy for some time, perhaps in other relationships, often secretly, as you keep these thoughts and feelings to yourself. You may feel confused or ashamed, thinking there is something terribly wrong with you. Your jealousy may spring on you at any moment, when your partner is away. You two are socializing with other people. You are alone and think about his or her former lover. It seems that it can come at any time. It is hard for you. Your jealousy is not something that you wished for. It is not something that you planned. At times, you think that no one really knows how hard it is for you, and you can't confide in the one person you are closest to, your partner, the object of your jealousy. Because whenever you tell them about your feelings, it seems to backfire. Your partner may say, "Leave me alone. This is your problem. I didn't do anything wrong. You must be insecure. Why are you so neurotic?" And this only makes you feel worse. So I am going to suggest a different way to look at your jealousy. I am going to suggest that you have a right to all of your feelings. We don't tell someone with a headache to just get over it. We don't tell someone with indigestion there's no reason to feel this way. These are your feelings, your anxiety, your sadness, your anger, your jealousy. These are yours for the moment. Now, stand back and respect the feelings for what they are, a part of your experience at the present moment. A difficult part, but this is your experience. Allow yourself the right to have your feelings. Now, this doesn't mean that your thoughts about what is going on are based on facts. They may be, or they may not be. But facts are different from feelings. I can feel sad because I believe I will be alone forever, but the sadness is true for me simply because I am having that feeling. But I might be wrong about the future, about being alone forever. We won't know until we find out what the facts are. But our feelings are indisputable, and sometimes they are difficult in the moment we feel them. So we need to validate our feelings. Validation is acknowledging the truth. And the truth is that you are having jealous feelings. They are your feelings, and they are painful. Validating your self-exercise. You can validate your jealousy by saying to yourself, "These are my feelings right now, and I have a right to feel what I feel. These are difficult feelings for me, and I need to accept that difficulty. It is hard to have these feelings when you care about someone, so this is hard for me. Sometimes I will feel alone and unable to express these feelings, which makes it hard. I am not alone. Jealousy is part of human existence. We often think that jealousy is only a sign of a problem. But you wouldn't feel jealous if the relationship meant nothing. So I also recognize that jealousy may come from positive values and the commitment that you have to someone. Jealousy is your recognition that someone is important to you, that commitment, honesty, depth, and love mean so much to you. Ask yourself whether your jealousy is the painful sign of love and commitment. Respect yourself for having values of love, intimacy, romance, and loyalty. After all, your jealousy shows how connected you are, and it reflects your fear of losing that connection. Let's look at my conversation with a client who was struggling with jealousy. Bob. Sometimes jealousy is related to the positive values that we have, like the value of monogamy, commitment, honesty, closeness. Are these values that you have? Carol. Yes, of course. Bob. So one way of looking at your jealousy is that things matter to you. You are not a superficial person when it comes to a relationship. You take things seriously. Carol. Of course I do. Bob. What if your partner said to you, "You know, I think everyone should be free to do what they want to do. So if you want to go out with other people and have sex with them, that would be okay with me." If your partner said that, what would you think? Carol. I would think that he wants to screw around with other people. I wouldn't trust him. Bob, in a sense, you would want your partner to be capable of jealousy, because it would be a sign of commitment and a sign that you matter to him. Carol, yes, if he wasn't jealous, I would think he couldn't be trusted. I would also think that I didn't really matter to him. Bob, perhaps jealousy, just like any emotion, has a positive side and a negative side. I think it's important to recognize that jealousy not only makes sense, but may be a capacity of commitment and trust. Carol, that makes me feel a lot better about who I am. The first step in validating your jealousy is to recognize that these are your painful and difficult feelings. The next step is to see your worries, anger, and anxiety as coming from the fact that someone matters to you. You are jealous because someone you value, a relationship you value, may be threatened. It's essential to affirm the importance of love and commitment, the values of intimacy and honesty, the desires for depth and meaning. Yes, those are important. But at times, tragically, the anger and anxiety of jealousy are the result. You feel things because things matter to you. So you are locked in what seems like a dilemma, loving someone, but fearing them too. How difficult this must be. Validate the difficulty, the dilemma, and the conflict within you. Make room for what is inside you. You are filled with multitudes. Another way to validate your jealousy is to recognize how universal an emotion is. As discussed in chapter 1, we can find jealousy throughout the world, in different cultures, in different historical periods. We find jealousy in children, even infants, in animals, even insects. So understanding the universal nature of your feelings may help you feel less alone, less uniquely upset. When we recognize that our feelings and needs may be universal, we can accept them. We can allow them to be for the moment. Consider the way you are seeing things. If you believe that your partner might betray you, we can understand how jealous feelings would arise from that belief. We can see that a lot of people might feel jealous if they believed that their partners might betray them. If you think at times that you would have a hard time living your life, or that you would feel humiliated if your partner betrayed you, then we can understand how strong your emotions might be. Whether you find out that your perceptions are right, wrong, or in a shade of gray, these are your perceptions at the present moment. And they may overwhelm you with painful feelings. Validating your feelings means also recognizing that your thoughts and perceptions may be linked to those feelings. If you have a history of betrayal, if past lovers have cheated on you, or if your current partner has been unfaithful, it's understandable that you would feel jealous. This would make you prone to having these feelings and to seeing a possibility of betrayal in your current experience. If one or both of your parents was unfaithful or left or wasn't there, we can also understand that you might feel anxious because this would set the groundwork for difficulties with trust and make you more sensitive. So, yes, understand that what you are experiencing right now may include past experiences as part of it. And we should validate that it may be possible that your partner is not completely trustworthy. Maybe there is something to your suspicion. Maybe your partner is not completely transparent. Maybe he or she is not as reliable as you would prefer. Maybe you are right at times, that there is something going on. So you may be responding to suspicions that could be shown valid. But even so, even if your thoughts and feelings make sense, even if there might be something going on, there is still a lot that we can do to help you cope. It's important to validate the feelings you are having, to respect your own feelings, own them as yours, recognize that sometimes feelings are painful. It feels painful to love someone. We get hurt, and people let us down. Sometimes our fears come true. Yes, recognize that, validate it, and understand how it feels and why it hurts. And know that even when we accept and validate what we feel, it is also possible to cope better. Stepping back from jealousy. Validating feelings doesn't mean getting hijacked by them. You can acknowledge your anxiety and anger in the present moment. You can point to your jealousy and say, "I can see that I am feeling that way again." But you stand back, stand apart, and take a moment to reflect. As you step away from the feelings for a moment, ask the following questions. Do I really want to get hijacked by these thoughts and feelings? Do I want to feed my jealousy? Or do I want to step back from it? What will happen if I let this take over? What will happen if I act on the feeling? Is it possible that I might be misinterpreting things? What are some things that I can do to cope better in the present moment? When we step back like this, we can see biases, thoughts, actions, and responses with more clarity. While validating the pain, we can also examine the thoughts that contribute to the pain, how we might act on our jealousy, how we might respond to our emotions, while still acknowledging them as painful. Having those feelings is hard enough at times, but interrogating, scolding, punishing, threatening, following, ruminating, and worrying only add to our pain. Thoughts and feelings don't have to dictate what we do or what we say. We can find other ways of coping, better ways. We are not slaves to our minds. We decide. We step back, think, and consider the options. See whether there is a different way of coping with the way you feel. For example, you might learn that while the way you feel at present might seem overwhelming, everlasting, and out of control, your current emotions are temporary, not necessarily destructive, and they don't need to control you. Think about what can put things in perspective to help you stand back, accept, observe, solve problems, build a bigger life, engage meaningfully, improve communication with your partner, and learn that this life you are living is not dependent on any one person. Accept yourself. Having compassion for yourself. No one knows how hard jealousy is for you like you do. No matter how understanding, how empathetic, or how caring your friends or partner might be, no one is going through the experience right now like you are going through it. Your jealousy comes from a fear of being betrayed or abandoned by someone you love. It may be the most difficult set of emotions that you have ever had. There are times when you might be angry at yourself for having these feelings, times when you feel embarrassed that you are feeling the way you feel, and times when you fear that your world is collapsing in front of you. This is a time to stand back from the present experience of overwhelming feelings and to think about yourself as someone you care about, someone you respect, someone you love. We can call this compassion because you want an end to your suffering and pain. You want to direct caring and accepting love toward yourself. You want to embrace yourself along with your jealous heart by imagining wrapping your arms around yourself, holding yourself, and assuring yourself that you will always try to be on your side. This is how you can care and soothe the broken heart within. You are always with you. You can always love you. You need the love, so why not give it to yourself? Why not always be on your side? You can imagine the most compassionate, warm, loving person from your childhood or among your friends saying to you, "I love you, I care about you, I accept you." Imagine this person wrapping his or her arms around you, holding you gently in a soft and loving embrace, being completely here with you at this moment. Imagine that you are loved by you, and imagine that you are always with yourself, always there to hold yourself in your heart. When you fear the loss of love, remind yourself that you are always here to love you. Then you can feel peace for the moment, as a serenity that blankets you, a calm that envelops you. Even in a storm, it can be calm in this loving embrace. Now that you have taken a step back to observe, listen, and allow jealousy to be there, you can start to examine your thoughts. Chapter 7. Living with your thoughts. When you have a jealousy thought, have you ever tried yelling at yourself to snap out of it? Stop, you might say. Enough. If you've done this, has it worked? In psychology, this is known as thought stopping, and psychologists used to even give people rubber bands to put around their wrists. When they had an unwanted thought, they would snap the rubber band against their skin to literally try and snap out of it. But the idea behind the thought stopping implies that thoughts are to be feared and must be avoided. The problem is that unwanted thoughts keep coming back. They rebound. No one can be snapping all day and all night. And it can even convince people that they can't live with unwanted thoughts, that they must get rid of them. If you are doing something similar with jealous thoughts, you'll find that you need to pay attention to the thoughts to suppress them. You look for more jealousy thoughts, and presto, you will find them. But what if you were looking for something completely different? What if you were looking for the clouds in the sky, the sound of rain on the roof, the colors of the books around you, or were trying to notice your breathing as it goes in and out? You can acknowledge and accept the jealousy thoughts, but shift your attention to something outside of yourself, something else. Notice what you are focusing on, and ask yourself if there is something else that might be more important, more relaxing, more peaceful. In this chapter, we will go over ways to live with unwanted thoughts, so we can get on with our valued behavior, regardless of the background noise that seems to bombard our minds. We don't have to chase the ambulance we hear in the street. We don't have to listen to the conversation at the next table. And we don't have to take every telemarketing call we get. In the same way, rather than snap at yourself when you have a thought, you can use a wide variety of powerful techniques to live with the noise. Just because a thought appears in your mind doesn't mean that you need to spend the whole day with it. You have a choice. You can acknowledge it. Say to yourself, I see that thought right there. And then get on with other things. It's like noticing a small mailbox on the side of the road as you drive past. You don't stay and rummage through it. The same approach works with jealousy thoughts. You can notice them. Point to them in your mind, saying, there it is again. But then keep going with what you were doing. Allowing them to simply be allows you to live with them for now, without being controlled by them. How neutral thoughts become major life events. During the course of any day, you experience thousands of thoughts and images. But at the end of the day, you are likely to forget almost all of them. Close your eyes and try to recall what is immediately around you, wherever you are sitting. I am sitting in my study. With my eyes closed, I can imagine the monitor to my right, a window in front of me opening to a cloudy sky, a pile of files in a basket on the floor, a chair stacked with books, and a cat at the door hoping to come help me write. But honestly, except for the cat, I really didn't notice these things when I first started writing this chapter. I was focused on the thoughts in my head, the words on the screen, and my urge to check email again. In other words, there are a lot of thoughts, images, and sensations floating in and out of our temporary awareness. But unless we pause to really pay attention, we will forget about them. Certain kinds of thoughts appear in our immediate awareness that we give more attention than others. Some of these thoughts may be pleasurable, like the thought of talking to my friend and his wife at dinner tonight. But other thoughts may be disturbing, like jealous thoughts. If you are prone to jealousy, you may have a lot of these disturbing thoughts. Thoughts about your partner flirting with someone, thoughts about your partner's former lover, or thoughts about your partner cheating on you. When these thoughts appear in your awareness, you quickly become concerned. It's as if your mind says, put everything else aside and pay attention to these thoughts. These are known as intrusive thoughts, because when they occur in your mind, you have a sense that they are unwanted and negative. You activate your strategy about jealous thoughts. What is the strategy? It is a series of steps your mind takes that turn a rather neutral occurrence of thought in your mind into a major life event. Here's what you think about your intrusive thoughts. 1. That thought is important. 2. I need to pay attention to that kind of thought. 3. That thought stands out. It means that something is going on. 4. If I have that thought, it means my partner can't be trusted. 5. That thought can help me predict what will happen. 6. That thought can help prevent me from being surprised. 7. I have a responsibility to myself to check things out and find out what is really happening. Let's look at each step in this sequence. Starting with the thousands of thoughts and images you have throughout the day, you are suddenly treating certain thoughts as more important than other thoughts. A jealousy thought becomes quite important. Its simple occurrence is important to you. You don't just brush it aside. You don't say, that's silly, or that's just a thought, like you do with other thoughts. Instead, you say, that's important. Because it's important, you then feel you need to pay attention to thoughts like this. So you begin focusing on any occurrence of a jealousy thought, and, of course, you find what you are looking for. The reason you find jealousy thoughts is that you are asking yourself, do I have any jealousy thoughts? Simply asking the question means that you must have a jealousy thought. So your mind sets out looking for jealousy thoughts that you find over and over. Other thoughts are overlooked, discarded, ignored. You are on a search, a thought hunt, in your anxious mind. And you find what you are looking for, more jealousy. Now that you are looking for jealousy thoughts in your mind, and finding them over and over, you conclude that the occurrence of the thought means something real is going on. The thought is not some random thought. It's not just noise in your head. You see it as a warning signal, an alarm that is telling you something. And at this point, you begin to think that simply having the thought means your partner cannot be trusted. It's possible that my partner could be looking around. I just had that thought. And so maybe she is. Maybe I can't trust her. You are treating the thought as evidence for distrust. It's like being charged with a crime and the prosecutor says, someone had a thought that you are a criminal. That's the evidence. And the judge pounds the gavel and bellows from the bench, guilty as charged. So you begin treating these thoughts as self-protection. They are helping you, warning you of a possible betrayal, alerting you to the possibility of things unraveling. This operates just like an early distance warning system. The thoughts are going to help you see the missiles being launched before they strike. These thoughts are your protection. With them, you won't be surprised, you won't be hurt, you won't be humiliated. So you don't want to let your guard down. You don't want to turn off your alarm system. All these alarm thoughts are sounding. And now you must find out what is really going on. Is there a fire? Is your partner lying? Is something happening? You don't say, oh, that's just a thought. I can ignore that. No. At this point, you say, that's a thought I have to do something about. So you begin looking for evidence. And it's a biased search. You are looking for clues to confirm the thought. Small signs that your partner is losing interest, that she is flirting, that others are interested in her. You even look into your imagination for evidence. If I can simply imagine it, then it must be true. So any fantasy or image that you form of your partner talking, flirting, or touching someone becomes evidence of guilt. Evaluating intrusive thoughts. You have evaluated your intrusive jealousy thoughts, and you find them to be immediately important, personally relevant, and predictors of what is going to happen. But let's pause a moment and think this through. Let's think about your thinking. Maybe the evaluations are misleading. Maybe there is another way to look at these thoughts. Maybe you don't have to get stuck on them, be hijacked by them, let them mislead you, then go down the rabbit hole of jealousy. Let's evaluate your evaluations of jealous thoughts. Look at them again, and then compare them with another way of looking at things. You have been treating the simple occurrence of your jealous thoughts as an important event. What if the thought is simply a thought? 1. That thought is important. Not necessarily. Maybe the thought is simply a random firing in your brain. Maybe it's an old habit of thinking. Simply having a thought does not make the thought important. It's only a thought. 2. I need to pay attention to that kind of thought. You don't need to give a lot of attention to a thought simply because it occurs. You can simply notice it and then let it go. You don't have to dwell on it. You have thousands of thoughts every day that you don't dwell on. Letting go of certain thoughts might help you get on with your life. 3. That thought stands out. It means that something is going on. You have had these jealousy thoughts countless times, and many have been false alarms. A thought is not a barometer. It's not a temperature gauge. It's only a thought. Thoughts are not always connected to what is going on. 4. If I have that thought, it means my partner can't be trusted. Whether your partner is cheating or not, it is not based on your having a thought. It's based on his or her behavior. You can examine the evidence later, but it makes no sense to conclude that you can't trust someone simply based on a thought. Imagine a court of law. Would simply having a suspicious thought be sufficient evidence of anything? 5. That thought can help me predict what will happen. You can ask yourself how many times you had suspicious or jealous thoughts and have been wrong. Predicting reality is not based on a thought. It's based on testing out predictions. Can you find any evidence that you have been wrong in the past with your predictions? 6. That thought can help prevent me from being surprised. Continually predicting betrayal does not help you, even if your partner were to betray you. You would be upset no matter what. But focusing on your jealous thoughts will only make you feel angry, sad, and anxious, keeping you miserable. If you ever were betrayed, you would be upset with or without these thoughts. 7. I have a responsibility to myself to check things out and find out what is really happening. If there is overwhelming evidence that something bad is happening, yes, you should check it out. But simply having a negative thought doesn't mean you need to turn into a detective. It only adds to your misery and will lead to more conflicts in your relationship. Here is a clear way to contrast problematic and helpful ways to think about jealousy thoughts. Problematic jealousy thought. My partner could cheat on me. Helpful jealousy thought. My partner could cheat on me. Problematic jealousy thought. I must pay attention to that thought. Helpful jealousy thought. I can accept the thought and get on with my life. Problematic jealousy thought? That thought is very important to me. Helpful jealousy thought? That's background noise. Problematic jealousy thought? I have to do something now. Helpful jealousy thought. I don't need to take action. Problematic jealousy thought. I need to find an answer. Helpful jealousy thought. The thought is like a telemarketing call. I don't need to pay attention to it. Problematic jealousy thought. There must be some reason why I am thinking this. Helpful jealousy thought. That's just a thought. Problematic jealousy thought. If I have that thought, something is going on. Helpful jealousy thought. I can make room for lots of thoughts. Do I need to hang out with jealousy thoughts? We have thousands of thoughts and images that come to mind every day. Most of them are fleeting images and ideas that pass by like the wind, so we have stopped noticing them. But when it comes to jealousy thoughts, my partner might lose interest and go off with her, or I wonder if she found her ex-boyfriend to be sexier than me. We get stuck on them. We spend a lot of time hanging out with these thoughts, engaged with them, entangled in them, and we can even feel trapped by them. Daniel felt that jealousy took over his mind. He couldn't get away from these thoughts. He felt stuck, as if someone had started a conversation with him on an airplane. He couldn't just get up and leave, and the flight went on for hours. So let's look at how you can cope with spending a lot of time focused on these thoughts, worried and ruminating. Productive versus unproductive thoughts. I make a distinction between productive worry and unproductive worry. For example, a productive worry is something that I can take action on today. It's on my to-do list. If I can do something today that will substantially advance toward a solution to this problem, then it is productive worry. For example, a productive worry might be, do I have a flight reservation for my trip? I can check this in 5 minutes and answer that question. If I don't have the reservation, I can make it today. That's my to-do list for today. It's productive because there is something to do. An unproductive worry might be, when I give my talk, will people find it boring? There is not much I can do today to solve that problem. No matter how much preparation I do, I can't guarantee that people will find my talk interesting. So the thought is unproductive. Ask yourself whether your jealousy thoughts are productive or unproductive. If you have the thought that your partner might be flirting with someone at work, is there really anything that you can do today to solve that problem? If not, it's unproductive. What's the problem with unproductive jealousy worries? Simple. Ask yourself how you feel when you engage in endless worries about your partner. You feel anxious, sad, angry, helpless? That's the cost of spending a lot of time dwelling on this stuff. It just makes you miserable. Because dwelling on these thoughts will not lead to productive action, you are wasting your time and doing something that will only make you miserable. Once you realize this, what can you do? You can start with accepting those thoughts. But how do you do that? Accepting your jealousy thoughts. You may have noticed that when you have a jealousy thought, you set off running after evidence, asking questions, and looking for clues. It's as if the jealousy thought appears as an unwelcome guest and starts ordering you around. Go find out. What is really going on? Who is he talking to? Does she still find me interesting and attractive? You don't just accept the thought and let it be. No, it's something you engage in, try to figure out, and obey. One way you can get around this is to think about your jealousy thought as a visitor. You can imagine that you are at a holiday dinner. You notice that at every holiday dinner, there is an eccentric aunt or uncle who shows up. Maybe her views on politics are a little extreme for you. Or maybe he goes on for too long talking about a trip to the shore. And you simply feel bored because if you are smart, you have learned that arguing with him or her is pointless. You have now learned, after many holiday dinners, to simply compartmentalize and think, well, that's Uncle Jay going on again. I guess I will just sit here and listen. I suggest turning yourself into an observer of Uncle Jay, and just watch him go on, accepting it for now. His banter is not relevant to you, and what he says is not important. After all, it's just words. So think of jealousy thoughts as visitors, guests, who show up, talk a lot, but what they say is not important. Accept these thoughts for the moment. Let them have their say. Recognize that they are harmless. Let them bounce around as you sit back, observe, and simply let them be. Ken was at a party, and his girlfriend was talking with a handsome young man who seemed very friendly. Ken noticed he had some jealousy thoughts. Maybe she finds him attractive, and I think he is flirting with her. He decided to stand back and accept these thoughts, to recognize that these were natural thoughts to have when his attractive girlfriend was talking with someone. He just accepted the thoughts and decided not to do anything. He didn't go over to talk with her and interrupt her conversation. He just accepted his jealousy by thinking, "I guess I'm having some jealousy thoughts right now." He then went over to some friends of his and started talking, allowing the jealousy thoughts to lurk around, hang around, have their say. And he decided to do absolutely nothing. Later, he felt less anxious as a result. What if jealousy thoughts are just thoughts? I said earlier that jealousy has a mind of its own. It has a pattern of core beliefs about other people and about us, a rule book about how people should act and feel in a relationship with us, and a set of thinking biases, like mind reading, personalizing, and fortune telling, that can take us down a dark path of anger, anxiety, and desperation. But a thought occurrence does not mean that we need to be hijacked. After all, isn't a thought just a thought? Are thoughts real? It's true that we are really having a thought, but the thought may not reflect the reality outside of our heads. Here are three helpful ways to recognize the nature of a thought. Is a thought real? Close your eyes. Imagine the face of a dog, any dog. It can be a golden retriever or a poodle. Any dog face will do. Get a clear picture in your mind of that dog's face. Watch it carefully. Once you have that picture in your mind, hold it for 2 minutes. Then open your eyes. How did you feel when you had your eyes closed? Did the dog's face remind you of anything? Did you feel anything? Was it a dog you know or once knew? When I did this exercise just now, I had an image of our dog, Jane. She was a wonderful dog. I felt sad because she died 3 years ago. We loved her. My feelings were real. Even so, when I opened my eyes, Jane was not here. Simply having a thought or an image may feel real, making us feel anxious, sad, happy, relaxed. But it doesn't always point to something that is real, existing, and happening outside of our heads. The same thing occurs when we have jealous thoughts. The thoughts pop into our mind. Maybe he is flirting with someone. And we treat that thought as important, as signifying that something is happening or will happen. It's as if the thought and reality become one. I have the thought. Therefore, the reality must be there. This is thought-action fusion. But they are not one and the same. When I opened my eyes, my dog Jane wasn't sitting there. So, what is a thought? Thoughts can be like telemarketing calls. Have you been unfortunate like me and picked up your phone only to hear the voice of someone trying to take a poll or sell you something? This is not someone you know. It is a company you've never heard of. It's a telemarketing call. I find these calls annoying, but they are going to keep happening. What do you say when telemarketers call? Do you feel an obligation to talk with them? You might if you are very polite, but maybe you just don't have the time or interest. I say, take my name off your call list and hang up. You can view your intrusive jealousy thoughts as telemarketing calls. You can think, oh, it's that telemarketing call about jealousy. I can just let it ring. I don't have to answer that. The caller will eventually give up. I have better things to do. Just because something is ringing in your head doesn't mean you have to pick it up. Let it ring. Thoughts can be like trains in the station. Another helpful way to think of thoughts is to imagine them as trains in the railroad terminal, coming and going. You are looking for the one train heading for Peacetown. All the other trains you may see in a given moment are going elsewhere. Anxietyville, Distrust Town, and Anger City. Yes, they kind of look like the train to Peacetown, but they're headed other places. So if you board the wrong train, you will get lost and have a hell of a time trying to get back. So watch carefully, because hopping on a jealousy thought can be like getting on the wrong train. Observe it, look at it, and choose not to get onto it. I find it fascinating to watch train cars go by. I like to imagine where they might be going, what the journey is like for the conductor, and what the passengers are seeing as they pass through the countryside. Your jealousy thoughts can be on that train as it goes by. Who knows where they are going? The train is passing you by on a long journey. You decide not to get on that train. The whistle blows and it disappears over the horizon. You simply decided that this particular train can continue on without you. Setting aside jealousy time. You may have mixed feelings about jealousy thoughts. On the one hand, you believe that these thoughts might be helpful. You might find out what is happening. They might warn you. They might protect you. Maybe you won't be surprised, but you also may believe that these jealousy thoughts are out of control, that you can't concentrate on anything else, and that you need to get rid of them completely. So you have both positive and negative views of your jealousy thoughts. I need them to protect me, and I have to get rid of them. In your efforts to get rid of them, you might tell yourself, stop thinking this way. But then the thoughts just bounce back, at times. They return even stronger. This worries you because you think, if I can't suppress them completely, then I will not be able to cope with them. They will take over. One technique for coping with jealousy is to set up jealousy time. You can set up an appointment with your jealousy at a specific time every day. It's an appointment that you put into your calendar. Rather than spending a lot of time with jealousy thoughts in the morning, afternoon, evening, and even in the middle of the night, you can set aside 20 minutes each day for them. For example, at 3 p.m. each day, you will spend time dealing with these thoughts. And if the thoughts pop up at any other time, you can say to yourself, I will put that off until 3 p.m. You can write them on a piece of paper or save them in your smartphone. That way you won't forget these thoughts. You will have them at 3 p.m. Many people assume that they will be unable to delay thinking about these thoughts. I have no control, they say. But in most cases, we are able to put them off until later. What happens when you set aside jealousy time? You learn that you don't have to obey a jealousy thought and respond to it right at that moment. You are free for a while. When jealousy time rolls around, you might realize that you are having the same thought over and over, so there is no reason to repeat it over and over in the future. You got the thought, okay? Now you can move on. You may find that when jealousy time finally comes around, the thought doesn't bother you as much. This is important to notice. Because when the power of a thought dissipates on its own, you can see that thoughts don't have to be so important to you when you have them. Thoughts and emotions change over time, often a very short period of time. So what can you do during this jealousy time? Here's a simple tool that you can use when you are bothered by recurrent jealousy thoughts. You can use this at any time, but it's especially helpful during an assigned jealousy time. Becoming bored with your thoughts. Have you noticed that you eventually lose interest in things that once bothered you? Maybe you have lost interest in or forgotten that a former boss said something unpleasant to you, or the fact that someone didn't invite you to a dinner party. At one time, you were really upset, you felt angry, you vented, and you thought it